Wow, some hymns seem to go on forever, and that one kind of felt like it was ending too soon. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is the last Sunday in the season of Epiphany. Epiphany is the season of revelation. Its gospel readings teach us that Jesus is God revealed in a human being. God revealed in the words of Jesus. God revealed in the works of Jesus. God revealed in Jesus to us. God revealed himself through his Son so that we may all know him and trust him. To live with him in faith and obedient love, now and forever. Why would we need a season like Epiphany every year between the seasons of Christmas and Lent? Well, in Epiphany, we receive regular practice in the receptivity of faith, the ability to receive God's truth. It was 8 years ago now that Todd Burpo wrote a book called Heaven is Real. And then 4 years ago that it was later dramatized in a movie. In a sense, Heaven is Real is a modern Epiphany story. Todd introduces us to his son Colton, who when he was 4 years old nearly died from appendicitis. After his recovery, though, he began to tell his mom and dad about the things he remembered from the time when he was so ill. He told them that he had seen Jesus, that he had been in heaven with Jesus. He claimed to have met his great-grandfather, who died long before Colton was born. He also said that he spoke with his older sister, the child his mother had miscarried before Colton's birth. His mother had never told Colton about his sister. In fact, she had not known that the child she miscarried was a girl. Naturally, Colton's story has been received with some doubt and suspicion. It's unquestionably out of the ordinary. It has, however, strengthened the faith of his family and many others. And it's also led them to think more about heaven as a reality than ever before. Epiphany's gospel readings take aim at our hearts to strengthen our faith in Christ too. They tell us how God's light has shone into this world through Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Bethlehem babe, worshipped by men from a faraway land. Jesus, baptized in the Jordan River with and for sinners. Acclaimed the Son of God by the descending dove from heaven, the Holy Spirit. And that voice of God the Father speaking to Jesus to assure him of his presence. Jesus, the young rabbi, whose bold teaching amazed hearers with its authority. Jesus, the compassionate healer, who touched an outcast leper and healed hurting people on the Sabbath. And Jesus, the Son of God, revealed in blinding light on the Mount of Transfiguration. All these accounts, these witnesses, were written and are still read in this season to strengthen our faith, to lead us to listen to Jesus and to follow him. Through them, the Holy Spirit invites you and me to go beyond merely intellectually accepting that Jesus is the Savior of the world, to live and know and trust in Jesus. And yes, we do need that encouragement that we receive in the season of Epiphany. Let's face it, we live in a world that's bound by burdensome worries, that's haunted by daily dangers. and flooded with insistent distractions to our faith. Without God's help, we don't have a chance of keeping the faith throughout our lives. We're so busy. There are too many priorities to juggle, too many expectations to be met, too many problems to be solved. We very easily lose sight of our identity as children of God. We forget that God's grace and love are the rock-solid foundation for our lives in this world. Often our lives feel like a long, lonely journey through the badlands of temptation, anxiety, guilt, and despair. Just ask Peter, or John, or James. As they followed Jesus up that mountain that day, their faith was frayed to little more than a single thread. 6 days earlier, they had been with Jesus near Caesarea Philippi. He asked them who they believed him to be. And of course, Peter spoke up. Peter identified Jesus as the Christ. Jesus accepted that title, and he praised Peter as the recipient of this revelation from God as to his identity. It was a great moment for the disciples. Finally, they were sure Jesus is the Christ. They had been right in their faith. But Jesus had more to tell them. He laid out a plan for the next part of his ministry, a plan that included a journey to Jerusalem, his arrest, his condemnation, and death and resurrection. These words that Jesus spoke crashed down upon the disciples like the terrible Galilean winds that had once trapped them in a boat with Jesus, tossed about by a violent and deadly storm. Jesus' plan bore no resemblance to the ones that they had for him. The only deaths that they hoped for were those of Romans who dared to resist Jesus as he rose up to be the king of Israel again. Jesus' words and his terrible determination to see them through cast the disciples into complete confusion. Was he really the Christ? Had they been wrong in their faith after all? How could Jesus be planning such an unthinkable future? What about their plans for him? What happened next atop the mountain drove the despondency from the heavy hearts of these three disciples. One moment they were hiking uphill with Jesus in the lead, and the next they were shading their eyes before the heavenly brightness that suddenly emanated from their master. Jesus shone. He blazed with the glory of God. He greeted and spoke with two other glorious beings, men of the past, servants of God, Moses and Elijah. The sight of all of this was every bit as confusing to the disciples as Jesus' week-old prediction of his coming death. But it was a lot more exciting and maybe a little scary. Peter didn't know what to say, but that didn't seem like a good enough reason for him not to try. He offered to build each of the men a tent to allow them to get comfortable there. It was a nice thought, but it wasn't God's plan. He was silenced, Peter was, by the appearance of a thick, bright cloud that covered all of them. Through the fog, the voice of God the Father spoke, repeating words that he had spoken to Jesus at his baptism, but these words God addressed directly to those three disciples. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." The cloud disappeared. And so had Moses and Elijah. Just Jesus stood before them. What happened on that mountain? An epiphany. God reached out to three of Jesus' troubled disciples to encourage them in faith. The vision of Jesus' glory invited them to continue to trust that he is the Son of God and the Christ. The sight of Moses and Elijah bid them to believe that Jesus was going about the saving work that had long been promised in the law and the prophets. The cloud of God's glory and his commanding voice calling to the disciples to put aside their own dreams of Christ's mission and to follow him. Did they get it? Did they believe? Well, not yet really. But they continued to follow him as he did, as Jesus did, the Father's will. Epiphany is a season that shows us who Jesus is and reminds us of his divine power and love and bids us to follow him in faith throughout our lives, through the good times and the bad. We don't understand all of God's plans. And often they're nothing like what we imagine for ourselves. But they are good. Much better than the ambitions we cherish for ourselves. God persistently calls to me and to you through his word. Listen and trust my grace. Pray and obey my command. He confirms and encourages our faith through the sacraments. Remember that you are my baptized ones, my precious daughters and sons. Receive my resurrection life. My body and my blood nourishes you at this altar. God never tires of communicating himself to us through his word and sacraments. Because through these, he opens our eyes. We can't see Jesus, but we can be enlightened to know by faith that he's here. Through the word and sacraments, he softens our hearts and leads us in the way of repentance. And he renews our faith. And he directs our lives in the way of his call to live for him by living for our neighbors. God is invisible to us, yes. Hidden from us, yes, but not absent. Through Jesus, his words and sacraments he instituted, God makes his appearances in our lives. He's present, his epiphanies to us. May God grant us receptive hearts to hear him, to see him, and to trust and obey him because he comes to us. He speaks to us, and we are his, now and forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.